Hello, my name is Jeff Parrish. I'm the senior pastor here at Indian Rocks. And I just want to say thank you to you for tuning in today through our live streaming through the internet for our services. And we are glad that you are watching. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that we have here at the church. We are very much a purpose-driven church. Why do we exist? The reason we exist is to make disciples, as the scriptures teach us. But we have a thing that's called C4, which lists out the different things that we want to do. C1 is connecting with God, which is part of what the reason that we do this live streaming is to give people the opportunity to find out what the scripture says and what it means to have a relationship with God. It's pretty incredible to think about the relationship, having a relationship with the God who created you. But the second purpose is a place for people to connect with each other. And I can't tell you how important that is, because it's more than just being educated in the scriptures. It's finding a place that you fit, that you connect. We have a lot of small groups and all kinds of different shapes and sizes that reach out to different ages and different stages of life. Now, I'd really encourage you to check into plugging into a small group, because you'll never feel apart until you find a place to fit in. So anyway, thank you for watching today, and I hope to see you soon. But I want you to know that being a light is as unique as there are unique people in here. I can't tell you what being a light is for you, because God has made you unique, and who knows what that might look like. But he's called us to be it if we're his. But the process of how it works is pretty neat, and I want you to see it. This is a seed. And everything that's needed inside to grow a massive oak tree is found within this. So Jesus uses that analogy to help you understand the process of how he works. So the seed represents God's word, the gospel, among that. And you have a sower that goes out and takes this seed and throws it. It's hard to believe. In fact, if you didn't realize it, it would be almost impossible to believe that this right here, okay, could turn into this here. But it is the truth. I hear sometimes people say, well, I grew an oak tree back in the backyard. You really didn't. Okay? All you did was plant the seed, and the seed took care of the rest. You have the seed. But number two is that you have the soils. He goes on to tell in the rest of this, as Jesus explains what this story, parable, means, he talks about soils, different types of soils. Now, the soils here, you'll see, represent people's hearts. That is who you are. So that when this seed, which is God's word, gets planted in your heart, remember that it has a lot to do with the soil that it's planted in. The seed is the seed. But how it grows and how it responds is dependent on a person's heart. But the thought for me today is not to talk to you about which soil are you. But the thought for me today is for you to understand, as a light or as a sower, what your responsibility is and how the effect, the process happens. See, this is Jesus letting you in on how the process works and what your responsibilities are. God has not called you to be soil inspectors. What's your duty? It's just to sow the seed, right? It's just to sow the seed, right? Don't become discouraged because of this or that, because Jesus told you what the process looked like. And when someone becomes a believer, just stand in awe of the incredible seed, right? That changed your life and that can change others.
Well, good morning. Of course, Pastor Jeff is not here. My name is DJ. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And wow, you should probably wait till the end. Wait till it's over. You might not be clapping. But Pastor Jeff, it was a great opportunity for him. Both of his kids are going to school pretty close together, and they had a fall break, and so he's able to spend some time with his son and his daughter. And he also got to watch the Alabama-Tennessee game with his son, which I don't know if you saw the results of that, but I've heard that he's changing next week's sermon, not from light to can people from Alabama actually get saved. So that's going to be a little rough thing that we're going to have to work through, but I tell you, his kids, I've been able to serve with them in mission. I actually taught a couple of his kids, and I led worship, and they are a testament to him. And to me, it is a privilege to be able to speak and for us to allow Pastor Jeff to be with his kids and invest in them. So, all right, well, hey, guys, did you realize, and Jason mentioned it too, that there is an election coming up? Are you aware of that? I don't know about you guys, but watching the news is pretty difficult. Not only do you have that, but you have Zika virus. You guys know about that, right? ISIS is out. Every time you turn on the TV, you see they're around. They're up to no good. The economy, they say, is about to tank again. I mean, that's what they keep telling us. And if that's not enough for us, have you guys heard about these creepy clowns that are just kind of lurking outside of the woods? And if you're like me, I think a lot of those things kind of weigh on you. But what I want us to all do together this morning is just play along, okay? Let's take a deep breath together. Let's just do that. And just let it out. Doesn't that feel better? And here's what I think God needed to tell me and need to speak to you about today is that it's going to be okay. I think in all of this, the word that we need to hear is it's going to be all right. And some of you can be sitting here today and you say, well, you're really not getting it, Springman, because if you look at everything that's going on, how can you possibly say that everything is going to be okay? And I was thinking about that verse that Jason was sharing this morning where we know the first part of it. We hear a lot, be still and know that I am God. There's a second part of that verse followed by a colon where it says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And that's a promise from the Lord. And, you know, be still doesn't necessarily mean, hey, God doesn't say, just sit where you are, be seated. I've got it taken care of. We are actively a part of this. But I think that be still is trust in him. Trust in him. Because in the end, we know he is going to be exalted. And to me, that is comforting. As you look throughout God's word, we can't deny that there are some clues here that we can all agree that it's probably not going to get better. Can we all agree with that? You know, in Scripture, Paul is warning Timothy, kind of his understudy. It's towards the end of his ministry, and he knows that he doesn't really have a lot of years left, and he's kind of passing the baton on to Timothy, and he warns him, and he says, listen, in the last days, this is how it's going to be. People will be lovers of their own selves. Does that sound like some people we know today? Maybe even ourselves. People will be unthankful. They'll be unholy. They'll be disobedient to parents and authority. Amen to that, right? I'm not going to look over to my kids over this direction. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I think that's an interesting way that Paul says it. It's not that they don't love God. It's just that they love the pleasures of the world more. Without natural affection, I'll let you figure that one out. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And so Paul says, listen, Timothy, don't bank on it getting better. It's going to be tougher. The days ahead, in the last days, it's going to be tough. Jesus says himself, there's going to be pestilence. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be persecution. And in your mind right now, you're hearing the song by Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, right? But look what Jesus says. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 24, verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. And the reason why I say it's going to be okay and don't worry is because Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 24, 6. He says, you will hear wars of wars and rumors of wars. What does he say after that? See that you be not troubled. So Jesus, as he's talking about all these things that are to come, he said, listen, as he's speaking to his disciples, these wars, rumors of wars, these earthquakes, all these things that are happening, don't be discouraged, don't be troubled. And look at the last part of that verse. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so today, as we take some time just going through this, how do we navigate through this? I mean, if it is the truth that there are things happening in this world that are discouraging and just weighing upon us, how do we really get through it? And I think that a good place to start is really the early church. And so before we start, I'm going to pray for us and just pray that the Lord would speak to us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be able to speak your word. Lord, thank you for this church. For how it's impacted my life personally. Lord, I thank you for other brothers and sisters in Christ in here who have been an encouragement to me and Lord, have walked beside me. Father, I lift up Pastor Jeff to you right now, and Lord, I pray just for a sweet time of fellowship with his kids. Lord, refresh him as he comes back to share and lead our church. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone in here that doesn't know you, their eyes and ears would be open to this truth, Lord. And for those of us who know you but are carrying burdens, I pray that the truth of your word will speak to them this morning, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we look at the early church, I mean, you have to understand, and I think sometimes when you're younger, you take a look and you think that everything we're experiencing today is something new. And the truth is, throughout Scripture, we see that even from the very beginning, even from the beginning of time, there have been troubles. And the early church was privy to this as well. You know, think about this. The early church, they witnessed the brutal crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Many of them saw it personally. They saw Stephen, who was the first martyr in Scripture. I mean, this guy was, stones were thrown at him, and he was killed by that. Can you imagine how brutal that would have been? Paul, who at that time was one of the biggest persecutors of the church, I say very similar to kind of that ISIS mentality. He was persecuting and killing Christians. And they knew that to profess to be a believer in Christ meant possible prison, and possible death. But as you look at the early church, what did they do? Well, in Acts, it kind of details that. They came together and they assembled as in one accord, really. They sold their possessions and goods. They distributed to everyone that had need. They broke bread together. There was a singleness of heart. And most importantly, they praised the Lord. And the question is, why? Why did they do this? You know, I mean, to be very honest, I believe they did it to survive. I mean, as they had this immense persecution and things that were going on outside, you can bet they were discouraged, don't you think so? I mean, maybe like some of you guys are feeling today, and they understood if they were going to survive, and not only that, survive, but thrive for the word of Jesus Christ, they had to come together. And so that's what they did. They came together, and they sold things, and they shared, and they took care of each other. And as we're going through this series of light, one of the first things I just want to challenge ourselves here as the body of Christ, is this a place where you come to and you know that we genuinely love each other? And it's difficult in a place this large, isn't it? I mean, I know we talk about connection groups, and that's where we want people to connect, but when you come here, do you have a heart of, I want to serve people who are hurting? I want to rejoice with people who are rejoicing. And that takes effort. That takes effort. In fact, a lot of times you find in a church this size, people will come here because they do want to hide. You know, when you're in a smaller church, it's a little bit harder to hide, but sometimes we come and the idea is, I can come here and people can serve me. And it's very easy to fall into that trap. And my encouragement to you today is do you come here on Sunday and you look for someone to minister to? Because when I come in on Sunday, I know that we all bring, we're at different places, aren't we? There's some Sundays you come in, God has just been working in your life, blessing you. You're worshiping the Lord together. The Spirit is just moving in your heart, and it is a joy to be here. And you want to share with other people and say, man, God is awesome. Let me tell you about what he's doing in my life. And then for others, you're going through a really difficult time. You have sickness in your family. You have death. You've lost maybe your job. And you're wondering maybe at this point, hey, I believe scripture. I believe it's true. But is God real? Does he care about what I'm going through? And see, that's where as a church, the body of Christ, when we come together, it should be a place where, and if this is your first time here, I hope somebody said hi to you. I hope you felt welcomed because people are watching. People are watching. As I travel throughout the world, that's one of the key things that our missionaries always tell us. They say, hey, listen, even if your group doesn't like each other, at least act like it when you're here for this week. Because people are watching, and especially in a lot of the Muslim cultures. See, they have a concept of what a Christian is because they know Britney Spears, and everybody in America is a Christian, they assume. And so they just believe that's Christianity. And everything that goes with it. I'm not saying Britney Spears isn't a Christian, just for a side note. I don't know. But that's what they assume. And so when they see people that are treating each other in love and honoring the Lord and morally wanting to live a life that is subject to him, that makes an impact on their lives. And as the missions guy, I know that I'm always supposed to talk about missions, right? And the heart should always be about reaching our community and reaching the world, and that's true. But I'll tell you this, in Scripture, I think it shows that first we need to take care of ourselves. Turn to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. A lot of some of my favorite verses today. When you don't speak as much, you just kind of pick your favorite verses and you preach on those. But Galatians 6, verse 10. And again, this is Paul speaking to the early church. And in verse 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So right away, Paul says, listen, anytime you have an opportunity as the body of Christ, find ways to do good unto all men. But look what he says in the last part of that verse, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially. And I think so many times we get focused on reaching the world, reaching our community, that we forget that we're supposed to be a light to each other. And so Paul says, listen, have a heart for those outside these walls, outside the church, but first and foremost, take care of each other. And so it's so important to do. But I think what happens oftentimes is that Satan loves to distract us, doesn't he? If he can pick us off one by one, he's doing his job. And I tell you, again, some of you may say, listen, what's happened in our country? It's been happening for years, but I think we're really divided. I see it, and I see even within the Christian community, there's this division that's happening, and I think this is where it starts. Turn to 2 Timothy. Again, one of my favorite verses, 2 Timothy, verse 1, or chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And this is a verse that I bring to mind all the time. I remind myself all of the time. Verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I will tell you this. Fear is a struggle of mine. Anybody else struggle with fear? I guess you could raise your hand if you want. There's a few people. Make me feel good. There's at least two or three. Two or three of us are fearful. I think a lot of people just make an assumption that you are, you know, I travel and I go into different places that you must just go and there's no fear. And I can tell you, a lot of times it's quite the opposite. I remember having a conversation with my wife. This was years ago when I was teaching. And I told her, specifically, I said, you know what? I don't care if I ever go outside of our country. I didn't even have a passport at the time. I said, I love just hanging out here in Largo at the beach. And during the summer, I would go to Pennsylvania. I was a teacher, so I had 3 months off. And my only objective was really to grow out my beard. That was about it. I was away from people out in the mountains. And so I would have never told you that what I'm doing now is I would never have told you back then that that's what I would be doing today. And yet God has a funny way of kind of doing, taking those nevers that you say in your life and putting you in a position to do that. And so oftentimes there's fear that enters my mind. And I've heard somebody define faith as this, that faith is being in a place that if God doesn't show up, you're in trouble. And throughout my life, I've been there where I've been at night and I've been in a country. I've told this story before where we had a team that went to the Middle East. We traveled to Lebanon, and it was really the morning that they killed Osama bin Laden. They said, listen, we don't want you traveling internationally at all. That's what the travel warnings were. And we find ourselves going and serving in the Middle East. And I remember having my head on the pillow at night, and I was saying, Lord, I sure hope you're real, because if you're not, this is the most foolish thing I've ever done in my life. But Satan loves to use fear in our lives. And the question is, if God has not given us a spirit of fear, and we're not talking about fear of the Lord. I think part of the problem that we have in America today is we've lost that fear of this holy, righteous God. So I'm not talking about that fear, but that fear that sometimes can debilitate you, can take you off course. And if God hasn't given us that spirit of fear, then who has? You know, when you experience those things in your life, I think that's a gut check of saying, Lord, this is not from you. But you've given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a sound mind. And it really makes you vulnerable. Fear does. In Scripture, Psalm 27, verse 1, a great verse about the power that we have, the power that we have in Christ. And you've probably heard this before. You've heard this verse. These are verses that we bring to mind, we bring to memory. But Psalm 27, 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I mean, think about those two. We're talking about the light series. And if you are a believer in Christ today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a comfort to me to know that Jesus is my light. What I have inside of me is what's being portrayed to people. He's my light, and not only that, he's my salvation. You know, as we think about things that we're dealing with today, we hear those verses, and I think we say, okay, Lord, we know that. All right, you're my light, you're my salvation. I'm going to trust in you. But what does David say here in Psalm? He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the question that I always ask myself is I've studied that for years, but do I believe it? And not only do I believe it, but do I trust it? And sometimes it's not just a who do I fear, but what do I fear? I've got a confession to make, and I tell you, I probably will regret sharing this to you guys, but hopefully there's not a lot of people watching online as well. I regret it because of my pastor friends. I know that they're probably going to bring this back to me, but I am petrified of spiders. Anybody else share that fear? I hate spiders. Snakes, roaches, all those kind of things I'm okay with. Spiders, I'm petrified of. And I was born in Indiana, but we moved here when I was younger, and we have wolf spiders here. You ever seen those things? Those things, that makes my upper lip sweat when I see a wolf spider. So this has been just something that I've had since I was a little kid. In fact, when I was coaching, I drove one of the yellow school buses here. And if your kids played on my team, I hope this doesn't frighten you, but we had kind of a contingency plan because those buses were out, parked back, and oftentimes they were filled with spiders. And I said, listen, my assistant coach, you need to sit close because if a spider comes crawling across the window, I'm jumping off this thing. You got to take over. True story. So being the mission pastor, I said, you know what, I've got to overcome this fear. That was one thing actually in traveling. I said, Lord, one of my biggest fears is seeing spiders. And I look around in these other countries, some of the biggest spiders I've ever seen. So we were in the Dominican Republic and notorious for tarantulas. And we were out there on a mission trip. And they're like, Springman, you got to come see this thing. I said, all right, you know what? I'm facing my fear today. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to persevere through. And so what I said is I told my wife, I said, I want you to videotape this. So she's behind me. I had a little stick. And I'm going to face this spider, and unfortunately, we do have it on video, and it was posted on Facebook, so if you go ahead and roll the tape.
Oh, you can't even get...
You're gonna, he's just going to dab him and upset
him. That thing
him.
Is huge.
He's going to upset him.
Oh, there's probably more.
What the heck are you...
Frank, man, you gotta be kidding. Come on, man.
What happened to my...
Your husband, where'd he go?
He pushed me where into it. He pushed me forward.
Frank, man, scream.
All right, that's enough. I've seen enough of that already, but... I don't remember much about that day, but I'm told that as my wife was behind me and this, well, first of all, I was told that that was me screaming. I still don't believe it. But as soon as that thing jumped, I kind of pushed her and I ran the other way. And you know, honestly, I don't think that spiders, a tarantula, could really hurt you. If they can, don't tell me that, but I really don't believe they can. They just kind of freak you out a little bit. But it's a picture of what fear can do to you. You know, as you're confronted by something like that, something that can't even hurt you, what do? You run the other way. Sometimes putting loved ones in harm's way, right? And Scripture says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's our power. That's our strength. And then it says in that same verse that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love. You know, I think about love, the opposite of it is hate or dislike or distrust. And if I've seen something in our country right now, and even the way that we treat each other, there's this movement from this godly love to this hate and to this distrust. And listen, I'm not talking about, because Paul says, as much as within you live peaceably. I know that there is a time when you have to defend yourself, so don't hear that in my voice. But I tell you what, when we fear something, that love gets covered up in our lives. And in Scripture, 1 John, it says that God is love. God defines love, and there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I can tell you this, throughout Scripture, as you look at it from the very beginning, there has been a plan by Satan to destroy the seed. And what I mean by that is to destroy life. And we see that in our country as innocent people are being killed. And throughout the world, the atrocities that's happening because there's an absence of God. And Satan would not want nothing more than just to pick us off one by one and to destroy us. And for that hate just to be building up in our hearts to where we can't even see the person across the street. Or maybe even in here, is it even possible that we could love each other? I tell you this, without Christ, it's not. But he's given us a spirit of power, and he's given us a spirit of love. And then the last thing, he's given us a spirit, the sound mind. And I don't know about you, but sometimes actually being in it and facing it is better. But what I struggle with sometimes is the what if. You ever do that? I mean, times, and I believe at night sometimes, Satan just loves to fill our minds with, well, what if this happens, and what if this happens? Oftentimes, they never come true, but we live a life where we can just become so distracted and become so fearful. And I love this about Paul is you know, and you got to understand, when Paul speaks, he speaks from authority. This is a guy who... That he was stoned. They thought he was. They threw stones at him. They thought he was dead. Left him for dead. He was shipwrecked. He says, "I've been naked. I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I've been cold." I mean, Paul has experienced all of it. It's not like he's speaking to us and he's living some protected place. I mean, Paul experienced what it is to truly be persecuted for his faith. And what does he say in Philippians 4:11? Says, now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. That's a powerful verse because contentment is something that we learn. It's not something that just naturally happens to be content. And I always, when I speak to to our folks here, I say, you know, I always think that we shouldn't be comfortable. I think there's a difference. I think there should be always a tension of, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Where are you directing me? What are you asking me to give up for the kingdom? I think we always should be in that state of tension, but I also believe as believers we should be content in all things. You know, if you understand that and understand that that's something that you can learn, here's the peace that I have in that you know what, regardless of the situation here in our country and around the world, regardless of how it could get or how it's going to be, I know that we can learn to be content in all things. So whether it's we have a lot or whether it's we have less, we need to be content. So the question today really is what's covering up your light? Maybe for some of you, you say, man, I'm, you know, and I think sometimes it comes when some of you have dealt with some of the darkest times in your life. Maybe health issues or the loss of a loved one, and you realize like how this life just vanishes so quickly, how it can change so quickly. Some of you have so much peace in your life because you've been able to let go of some of those idols and say, you know what, God truly is the only thing that's steadfast. And so for some of you, you know, your light is shining, but Pastor Jeff used this illustration the other week. I'm trying not to stare right at it. But if you're a believer today, you have that light within you. You have that light within you, and here's a neat verse in Galatians 2 where Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Isn't that, that's a crazy verse. If you think about it, and I know today, if you're not a believer, this is probably very foreign to you, but I think even as believers, that verse of that Christ lives within us. I know it's true. It says it in Scripture. And what does it say? In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you're a believer today, not only do you have this light within you, but it's the same within all of us. Because it is Christ within you. And that saving faith that we have is actually the faith of Christ within us. I'm so grateful that in Ephesians 1:13 it says that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. But the question I have is this light different in your life? And if you're a believer, it's not. The same light that Paul had, the same light that the disciples had, that some of the great men of faith and women of faith have, it's the same that we have within us. And it's the same light that overcame death, Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes it's not the matter of do we have the light, but what do we cover it with? I don't want to burn my hands today. So what do we cover it with? For some of us, it is fear, right? It is fear. Our light is there, but as believers in Christ, you know, it's shining, but there's a little dimness to it because of the fear that we have in our lives. And for others, maybe it's this anxiety that we're feeling today. That, Lord, what if all this stuff happens? What if, you know, I can say that I trust you, but what if I know we're not protected from all of these things happening, so can I get through it? And there's this anxiety that we feel in our hearts. And then for some of us, maybe it truly is just hatred. People have done us wrong, and you're angry. You're angry at the way that this country is going, and you're angry at the way that people are being treated. And so it's not that you don't have the light here, but oftentimes we cover it up, don't we? And I think that when we can get to a place like Paul where he says, he said this to the church, he understood that he had this power of Christ within him. And what did he say to the church? He said, rejoice in the Lord Always, right? And I think he had to repeat it because I don't know how you guys are, but yeah, Lord, I know that. I know that's true. I need to rejoice in you always. But then what does he say? But again, I say, rejoice, right? And Paul didn't say, hey, church, listen, rejoice when all your kids grow up and they follow the ways of the Lord. Rejoice when your marriage is working out. Rejoice when your business is booming. Rejoice when you're perfectly healthy. Rejoice when your country is going in the right direction. What does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not within our human nature to be able to do that. In fact, so many times we love to hold on to this. And maybe some of you are in a place in your life that, you know, that light used to shine so brightly, but there's just so much that you're adding to it that it's hard to love. It's hard to serve in power. It's hard to serve in soundness of mind. But here are the things to learn. You ready? And then we're almost done. That wasn't too painful, was it? The things to learn. I'm encouraged to know that the early church had the same struggles. It's nothing new. I mean, there's what they experienced around them, what we're experiencing to some degree today, they had the same struggles. And in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church there. And in Corinth, it was a madhouse around Corinth. There was, you know, sexual promiscuity. There was idol worship. There was violence. I mean, there was all of this going around. And the church in Corinth was distracted. And they were a church that were only established about 3 to 5 years. And Paul is speaking to them in 1 Corinthians 3. And he says, listen. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for until now you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And I can only imagine that all the stuff that's going on around the church and all the struggles that they're having, you know, how do you come into the place and just love each other? And the truth is, so many times, we're not very lovable, are we? Maybe you are. Sometimes I'm hard to love. And we all have our hang-ups and our faults. And sometimes we don't treat each other the way that we should. And in the first church there in Corinth, we see this going on. But here's how it can be different. And in Hebrews 5, it really defines what does it mean to be a babe or to be a carnal-minded. And it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so as you hear all of these things going on around you, our only hope is the word of God. It's the only truth. And that's why I love that what I get to do is I get to speak truth, because everything else is just noise. You know, the hopelessness that people feel in this world, the despair. And we know that in God's word, it's truth. But what does it say? They're unskillful in the word of righteousness. When I speak to young people, I say, listen, guys, I can give you some precepts from God's word to where you can live a life that where God will bless you and walk with you. But if you're not in his word and reading it daily and skillful with it, this is our weapon, isn't it? It's the sword of the Spirit. And if your time in the word is only just when we meet together on Sunday, anytime something comes against you, because Satan is prowling around seeking whom he may devour, right? We have to be skillful and be in his word daily. And then here's the final thing. Trusting and obeying brings happiness. It's true. I remember when I was a little kid growing up in Sunday school, we used to sing this song. If you know it, sing with me, okay? Trust and obey. You remember that one? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Remember that? There was a book out a few years ago where it says, all I really needed to know I learned in kindergarten. You know, to be honest, that's really true. That's really true. Treat each other nicely. Share. I mean, some of those things. And that song that I learned when I was little, if I were to say one thing, if somebody said, hey, what should I do with my life as a believer? It would be that there. Trust and obey. Throughout Scripture, it uses the word happy. You know, it's usually associated with surrendering to Jesus Christ, surrendering your life to the Lord. And so today, as we're just kind of closing up, my question to you is this. It takes a daily renewing of your mind. Do you know that? Paul said that. He said, that's why he said it's for some of us, every 10 minutes. For me, maybe even every minute, renewing our minds. But what are we carrying on to? Because here's the thing, is as we surrender these things to the Lord daily, those hurts, those anxieties that we have, the depression, maybe feeling of hopelessness. I saw a movie this Friday, and it was about, it's called Priceless. It's a movie about trafficking specifically, and that's a big problem in Tampa Bay area. I don't know if you guys do that, but human trafficking where they're taking children, they're taking women and young boys and men, and they're exploiting them for sexual purposes. And there's a common theme among these people that are involved in this on both sides. It's called value. Value. And to me, that's one of the greatest things that bug me is when people who are a creation of the Lord don't understand who they are. And as believers in Christ, it says that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. We know that verse, right? While we were yet sinners, in another scripture it says, Christ died for us. And one of the saddest things to see is a person who doesn't understand that they are valued by their heavenly Father. So what are we carrying in our lives? You know, it's a daily renewing of our mind. If we want our light to shine, we have to be in God's word. We have to totally be renewing our mind every day so that we can shine through and be a light. And so for some of you today, maybe this is your first time. You're saying, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, but I do know that I do have I really don't have a lot of hope in my life. I don't have a lot of hope for this country. A lot of people have let me down. Can I tell you that there's only one in this world that will be faithful, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him personally, there'll be some pastors here that will be able to talk with you about that. Pastor Tom is down here. If you have some questions about that, we also have a little thing that Pastor Jeff has put together, our team has put together about Got Questions. If you have any questions about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It's not that God says, hey, get everything cleaned up and then come to me. He's saying, where you are right now, I died for you. And I took away your sin. If you will accept that free gift. And so if you want to learn more about that, there'll be some people that will talk to you about that. Here's what I know, guys. It is going to get tougher, right? I can't tell you that it's not. I believe it is. And what I found in life, that the more difficult it becomes, the more we kind of shed away the things that aren't important. But here's what I desire. I desire to be able to serve with the body of Christ together, because we're going to need each other. I mean, to go to that battle and to approach what we're going to have to approach, you don't want to do it by yourself. And so my encouragement to you today is press in together. Lean on him. You know, don't allow for the world to distract us. Don't allow for the world to get us off course. I look at this church and I look at the way that God has blessed it here. It is amazing, right? A lot of people drive by and they say, oh, that's that big church there on Walsingham. You know, I want people to know us as, man, you guys really do believe this stuff and you really do care, don't you? There's something different about you guys, the way you treat each other. Man, what a testimony that is. Anthony, you're going to come up and close us. I'll be at the guest reception. If you are a visitor, I'd love to meet you. Pastor Jeff will be here next week. He'll be continuing with the Light series. But thank you guys for, not too many people were sleeping, so that's a good thing. It kind of brought me back to my days teaching English in high school. But it's been a blessing, and God bless you guys. Have a good rest of your day.